And it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Chris? Yo, Chris! Hey!
Hey, welcome to the 300th episode.
No, Chris, that was snow. No.
What an episode! Huh? What?
Chris, what was that? What happened?
We had such a great 300th episode. I've been celebrating Alex Simmons.
Yeah, really? It looked like you were sleeping. What kind of celebrating were you doing?
I was reading all of my buddies. I had some, where is this? Oh, here he is. Look, it's some blackjack.
Yeah.
And then I was reading some blackjack. And I was reading some James Chambers and some Carol Geisander and a whole lot of Teal, bro. What an episode.
How long have you been celebrating?
What day is it today?
It's the day for episode 301.
So I guess I've been celebrating for a week, ladies and gentlemen. Hello and welcome to Tell the Damn Story, episode 301. Holy cow, we're going again. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Chris Ryan. I'm a hybrid author and micro publisher and an enthusiast about telling the damn story. And there is nobody in the universe, not even the glorious, that I would prefer to talk about story and all things creative. Nobody I'd rather do that with than the legendary, three-dimensional, historic, awesome author of all things. There's a chapter in the Bible, Simmons. You don't know it. It's hard to find, but it's in there. Because we're talking about the legendary Alex Simmons. Hello, sir.
Oh, God. Oh, help me. My heart. Oh, wow. I don't know what you've been celebrating with, but we got to share that with the rest of the world.
You can. Most of this stuff's on Amazon.
There you go. Shameless plug. Do it again.
Yeah, the third Penelope story.
Ah, yes.
She's one of my, I guess you would call her an action hero. The world's tiniest action.
The cover to that
beautiful.
I don't know the name of the publication.
It's called Femme Fatale Flashes.
Yes.
And it's an absolute gorgeous cover. And you know what? They're little rebels over there at Wicked Shadow Press.
Because, that's the company that publishes that?
Yeah, they're the ones who published it. And it's available only on, as far as
now,
I can
folks.
Tell right now, yeah. Only on Lulu. There you go.
Look at that. Yeah. I'll try and post a better image of that. We can
see
to some degree, but yeah.
But it's a gorgeous. And.
Yes. And.
One of the great things is they did a black and white at the beginning of each story. So they illustrated Penelope, which was really a thrill for me.
Oh,
but it's their third time. First two times, Penelope was on the flash fiction section of Shotgun Honey. And this is the first time she'll be seen in print. So it's her print debut. And I was very impressed with the book. And then I was really impressed that they said, hell with it. We're just going to go with Lulu. And fascinating. There's so many decisions to be made when you're out there sending your creativity out.
Which is a part of what we're going to talk about today, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How are you, sir?
I am well. There's a few things going on that I can talk about, and one thing that I can't, gosh darn it. But either way, just to do the quick roundup, I have some writing projects that I'm very excited about, one of which I can't talk about, but cross fingers, everybody, please. And the other thing is I just went through the first semester of this year with my students at the New York Film Academy.
Absolutely.
And there's some imaginative stuff in the minds of these folks. It's always very reassuring to me, especially in these very curious times that we're living in, that I have this wonderful opportunity to meet people from various corners of the world,
mm-hmm.
different cultures, backgrounds, races, religions, all of that. In a place that is basically a lodestone for creativity and creative minds.
That's cool.
And to find so many commonalities is really cool. And the other thing is, it's a great lesson in listening. Because A, teachers should listen. Yeah, we have something to
Yes.
share, but we should also learn.
Yeah,
And the
bro.
other thing is that communication is all about give and take, yin yang, listen and speak, call and answer.
Yep.
And for some of these folks, English is a second, third, 14th language. So there's a bit of a struggle there, and yet they're trying to write in our language. And so it's really great to have these like very focused conversations with them and really delve into what are you trying to say with your story? What kind of theme are you
Yeah.
trying to explore?
Yeah.
And as you get through all of that, if you navigate through that cosmos, suddenly coming upon the core, the planet, whatever you want to call it, and realizing, yeah, I can connect to that. Yeah, that's a story that has a universality to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Let's go for it. And watching them light up when they realize, yeah, they're onto something. So that's been for the first couple of months of this year, that's been a really wonderful experience. Again, I've been there for several years, and this is really great. So that's been boosting my own chops.
Give me one second. I'm going to give you one more treat, and then
Oh,
we'll start talking.
okay.
Because congratulations on all that school stuff, that school. But you reminded me
Oh, ooh.
to celebrate one more thing.
What are we going to celebrate? What? Dee, 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 dee,
Hello again.
dee,
Did you miss me,
dee.
Alex? Did you miss me?
Oh, we just did that little thing from the whoever that whichever game show that is, Jeopardy or whatever.
This is just chock full of our friends.
Ah.
This is from Becky Books, and it was edited by our friend of the show, Jim Beard.
Oh, yeah.
His partner in Flinch Books, John Bruning, has a story in here. And the one and only, the Bobby Nash, has a
Oh, Wee
story.
Bobby.
And so do I. And it's called Knox and Howls. And
KS and Howls, yes. Ooh.
you can see right there a little bit. That's a
Creepy little
Bigfoot.
door and creepy little person
Yeah.
peeking out of the doorway in a
Oh,
creepy
that's a
garden.
big creepy person. That's a Bigfoot because this is a Bigfoot fiction anthology and it's just a lot of fun. And so I got to write a Bigfoot story, and
Oh.
everybody approaches those kind of special stories a different way. I decided it was my destiny to do a story where Bigfoot ate mushrooms.
As in
Magic
hallucinogenic
mushrooms.
type of mushrooms?
Yes.
Oh.
Knox and Howls from Becky Books, edited by Jim Beard. Go check it out. There
Available
are a
where?
wide variety of great Bigfoot stories in there, fiction stories,
Where is it
because
available?
Amazon.com, easiest place, that kind of thing. But I was really excited to get my copies and flip through it. I was partying with my books all week, so I have to rest my eyes and delve into that one, and that's pretty
Okay.
cool.
Okay.
There
Well,
you
that
go.
sounds cool.
You were saying we had stuff to talk about today.
Yeah, we do. When you have an episode 300,
Dun dun da.
which is in and of itself an accomplishment to go 300 episodes on anything, and as ours are not 5-minute episodes, so
Nah, bro.
that's a lot of hours and a lot of creative tips, techniques,
Yeah.
conundrums, and challenges that we've discussed with each other as well as our guests. So
At
when
this
you've done
point,
that,
I think you could say it's a full course.
yeah, it's a banquet. Yes, it's definitely
Yeah,
a
people could go,
banquet.
and if they really wanted to study this kind of stuff, go through all the episodes, then we'll see you in July, and you'll be much more learned.
Yeah. And as I said, not just from our ramblings and experiences, but also from the host of folks that we've had throughout the seasons. But last week, we had quite a cornucopia of folks and a
Yes.
lot of really interesting remarks that have been shared and experiences have been shared. And then we did the, you had your three questions that we put to them, but then we had audience questions that some of them were, yeah, I've heard that one before. So it's still out there floating among aspiring or emerging writers or struggling writers. But the other thing too was just really thinking about how many different experiences these people have had, all heading down the same trail
Yeah.
towards creating good stories, telling good stories. And so I want to just this at in this episode, I want to say this afternoon, morning, evening, whenever it is you're listening to this, I wanted us to reflect on some of that And then also, I popped up because this came up last week too. How do people promote what they do, or how do they get the word out, or what are they doing once they've written something and they want to get some sort of reaction, feedback, or whatever? So I popped a question on Facebook to get some responses to that. And then again, we had some thoughts from last week. So I just thought this would be a good time for us to reflect a bit back and then project as to where we're going, what we're going after for the rest of this year.
All right, sir.
And
You're in
you
the
had a
driver's
story
seat.
about, yeah. I'm
I have a
sorry.
story. What story do I have?
Actually, let's save where we're going for last. So,
Yes, sir.
what were your reflections from last week?
First, I thought we both were a little worried about whether we'd be able to handle a panel that big. And I was thrilled that it worked and it allowed us to focus on asking the questions and sitting back and letting new other voices answer. And I think it provided a ton of information and sometimes differing opinions to allow aspiring writers or creatives or people who just love reading to hear, like, behind the curtain and how people. I love hearing from people who made something and how it happened and their things, whether it's a film or books. There's not enough of that with authors.
There was a comment from Tom Sagoski. There were several comments from Tom, but one of them was that he said he wished there had been a show like this, and I assume panels and things like this, when he first started out years ago. Because, and it's as much as that's a compliment that you and I can do a nod to, thank you very much, Tom. The other thing, though, is it's really true that this is a journey. Becoming a professional writer is a journey. Getting yourself even to the point of where you'll write and let other people see what you write is a journey for a lot of creatives. Sometimes some folks really struggle for years to find enough self-confidence to put their work out in front of anybody, let alone try and sell it. Any kind of help, commentary, insight, reflections, anything that people can share to make that journey a little bit easier is just a phenomenal thing. And you're right. I think we, another pat on our backs, buddy. There you go. Pat
Hey,
you.
thank you. Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, there you go. Is I think we picked really good people. They were collaborative in all parts of the experience, and not only in sharing their own individual experiences, but in listening and calling and answering to the others on the in the event. That was really satisfying to watch. And
Yeah, and there were so many different lessons there, like Jersey saying sometimes he does something and he consciously says, this is just for me. And the idea of rather than isolation, solitude, because so many writers will fall into that depression of it's such a lonely profession. Because to quote Richard Price, I was lucky enough to sit next to him way back at the 350th anniversary of the Bronx. And we were talking about writing. I was way earlier in my career, way earlier in my career. And we were talking about writing novels. And he says, listen, he says, more than anything else, it's ass in chair time. And you just have to embrace the idea of sitting by yourself, working through your story. It's not going to a cocktail party is not writing. It's another part of the job, but ass in chair time. And for Jersey to say he sees that as solitude, and that's a more peaceful and more nourishing way of looking at getting the job done.
It's like saying it's okay to be with yourself and only yourself while you're doing that experience, while you're exploring that world or building that world. It's okay for you to be there with the creations that you conjure. You know, so that you're trapped or you're cast off or set adrift or anything like that.
It was really cool. And there were so many moments like that. James Chambers hitting us with the reality of deadlines really help, you know. And it also opened in my mind. I'd love to do a whole panel with people who are either hybrid or pure indie. And what happens when you have to put your own deadline on things? And how do you keep yourself to that and all that? So it was inspirational as well, looking forward. But if anyone missed the 300th episode, it's available. Any of our social medias had several links to it over the last 7 days or so. And you can find it on our YouTube channel, Tell the Damn Story. Remember when you watch that one or watch this one to take some time to like and subscribe so that we can keep helping you or at least sharing with you. So what else is going on?
The other end of that too is, because still talking about that, we had Tim Fielder, who was
Yes.
one of the original founders,
Co-founder.
original founders of Tell the Damn Story. This is where it all began. I honestly don't even remember how many years ago we started out, but it's
Well,
got to be what, 8 years, 9 years,
listen,
something like that.
I'll give you a little feel, okay?
Okay. Hey, whoa, watch, this is a family show.
Listen, when we started, Tim Fielder hadn't done Infinitum yet. He was just finishing doing a bunch of our Rapid Read covers. You had fully dark hair on your face and head, and I had dark hair on my face and head, which has at this point left the building with Elvis. It's that long.
Actually, if I remember right, Tim, in the original first few episodes of Tell the Damn Story, which we originally were shooting in video anyway, we did a Zoom, so there's video footage still.
On
But
the
he was
Tell the Damn
working
Story
on
page,
one of the
YouTube
things that
page.
he did during some of the episodes was he was working on artwork during that episode, and that means he was working on Blackjack, There Came a Dark Hunter in the episode. So that is, I don't know. I don't even know when that is, but
8 to 10 years ago.
that book was a year or more in production. So yeah, whatever the first year was, it's been a long while. And to have,
That was an award winner for you, yeah? You and
well,
him.
yes, this is true. This is true. And Tim has took off to do and explore and do many things,
Well,
wonderful things.
before he takes off,
Oh,
I
okay,
want to
go ahead.
remember the episode and we should figure out which one it is and tell people to it because it's really a cool thing where he turned the tables on us. Because what would happen is we would talk about stuff and he would draw it if he wasn't working on the Blackjack story. And then one time he turned around and he drew a cover and would ask us, what else does it have? What is this? I'm going to have. And it's this great cover. And then he turned around and said, all right, now you guys got to write the story. And I remember begging you to ask permission to take a first swing at it and all that sort of stuff. And that's our, if you want to read a Blackjack story without having to pay, where can they get that?
Actually, I'll put a link in the comments, but it's our, I want to call it our newsletter, but it's not really our newsletter. It's a freebie. It's just like an introduction to Blackjack. So it's just, if you're interested in it, you just put in your email address and you get it instantly downloaded to your computer and then you can read it.
Just really, and it'd be really cool for people to watch that old episode and then read the story. And you can
Watch
have
them
that
doing
complete
the drawings
experience.
up.
You're behind scenes and then going back. That's
But
pretty
anyway, what
cool.
I was going to say was it was cool having Tim back because Tim's off doing a number of wonderful things. And as you mentioned, Infinitum, and
He's
he's.
doing a sequel to Infinitum, right?
Yeah, he is.
Is that what would you name that?
Whatever he wants, which
More
is.
Infinitum?
Yeah.
Infinitum R?
Infinite Infinitum. No,
Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
never stops. So the bottom line is he's been doing that. He's been interviewing. He was in the White House, not as the president, but during the Obama administration, he was a guest at the White House and he got to do some sketches there. He's done so many wonderful things over the years. And to have him back on the show and sharing some of his experiences were great too. Again, another reason for you folks, if you didn't listen to episode 300, it is chock full of remarkable pearls of wisdom and stories about the experience of pursuing your creative goals. It's
So we
just,
talked about Tim, James Chambers, you and me, Omar Holman, the
We didn't
legendary
mention
Omar.
Omar yet. We
Yeah,
did not.
Omar was there, co-founder of Black Nerd Problems and co-writer of that book, that Black Companion book. And then there was James Chambers, who we talked about, with Carol Geisander, Teal James Glenn, yeah.
Jersey Drudge, a cartoonist and a
Teacher.
storyteller.
Yeah. Who else was there?
Rebecca Cuthbert.
Rebecca Cuthbert was there.
And
And
Janine, or Janine, however you want to pronounce that.
Janine Adjison and Tom were there.
Tom
And
Snagoski. And Janine and Tom write together
yeah.
on certain projects.
That was cool. And that was
A
that
lineup.
was the roughest moment of the whole episode. I thought I had introduced everybody and I missed Tom, so I had to go back and introduce Tom. The rest of the episode went very smoothly. And yeah, I had three questions, but then you went through and got the audience to ask a bunch of questions. And we thought that today, being kind of 301, and we're trying to be a little more relaxed and decompress from that great episode and have a smaller, quieter episode, that we might look forward, but with fewer questions as well. Is that correct, sir?
Actually, it's look forward, but we also were looking at, based on some of the things that were said last week and some of the things you and I talked about in the green room.
In the green room.
How did, because we asked this of some of our guests last week, how are you getting the word out about your books, or where can people find your books, or things like that? And some remarks even came up about promoting or some of the experiences they had. And Teal, I think, is, I don't know, he's written everything under the sun. I think, what was it? You were saying that he had put out this huge cornucopia of stories, and almost all of them got scooped up over a year's time. Or he wrote them during 1 year and then they all
Yeah,
the second year.
some of it I think was COVID and at that time, and some of it was he went through this period where no one was buying because they had picked up a bunch of stuff over COVID or whatever, or he was getting the he has a thing that he says happens to him all the time, where if he writes something specifically for an anthology and submits it, not when he's invited. And he's getting invited to more and more things to contribute to more and more things. But when he submits something, it tends not to make that anthology, but then the next one he submits it to accepts it. And so he had a lot of those happen 1 year. And then last year and this year, it's like people finally said, oh, wait a second. This guy, Teal James Glenn, is a natural born storyteller. And yeah, he's getting picked up everywhere. He does
That
have his own imprint with Pro Se, but there's a ton of other stuff that's coming out everywhere. And
that's right.
God bless him, deserved.
Absolutely. He's a, one of the hardest working individuals in the business. But anyway, I wanted to say that he actually also commented last week, but also responded to the question I put on Facebook yesterday about the challenges of getting the word out that you either you have a property that you're trying to get picked up somewhere, or that you have a book out, and how do you promote that? And that was an interesting thing, because you did something. You just released a book with Rebecca Cuthbert. There you go. And
Scream
you're
Like This,
promoting,
How to Become a Horror Writer.
you're promoting that. And it's like, how do people do this? One of the things that we forget, many of us forget, is it back in the day before the internet, the lines were drawn differently, and you had the writers who wrote, and then they had to get that submitted to a publisher. And the publisher, if they liked it, would handle a big part of the rest of the dance, which is to edit the book, and then to get the book into print, and then to distribute the book and to publicize the book. And if you were fortunate, if the publishing house was big enough, strong enough, smart enough, whatever, they would try and get you some publicity, maybe get you on a talk show or an interview or a book signing, or get you at an event somewhere where you could talk about the project. But you didn't have to do at least four of the five things I just mentioned. But because of A, the independent streak, but also because of the internet now, a lot of writers, emerging writers in particular, find that we have to wear all five hats, sometimes six. And here's the reality. Though it is what we have to do initially, doesn't mean we're any good at all those other things. It really doesn't. Some of us, some small cadre of writers will find that, yeah, they can handle marketing or they can handle publicity. They're good at speaking. They're good at getting out into the public and connecting with the audience and building that audience. And a bunch of folks will find out, no, I'm good behind my keyboards. I'm good at telling stories. I have no clue how to do the rest of this, or it's not working as quickly or as well as I would like. And there's a lot of discouragement involved in that. Some of what we've talked about and some of what's come up in the questions here is, how do you do this? And I would ask even, how well do you do this? And have you identified the challenges that are giving you the hardest time? And have you come up with some ideas about what to do about those challenges? And I have some things to offer and thoughts regarding that, and I'm sure you do as well. But that's one of the things that we wanted to touch on today, is to say that as we go forth in 2024, these are things that Chris and I are facing together and independently. And there's a lot of folks out there that are going through this. And so here's some of the feedback from that.
Shall I?
Yes, absolutely.
Getting the word out for a book is hard and getting harder. And the powers that be would like you to believe that the reason it's so hard is because so many people are putting out so many books. And part of that is true. I'm fascinated whenever I see like a 20-something author or someone in their early 30s who is going on and saying, I have 40 books out and they're all working. And I'm reminded of there was a pop artist, very popular. And another pop artist came in to do something and said, I'm so, and I write a song every day. And the first pop artist said, yeah, but how many of them are any good? And that's the thing. You write 365 pop songs and you release 11, right? So to be that young and to have 20, 30, 40 titles, you're definitely running to a formula. I'm worried that some of them are using AI. I don't know. But where's the quality? Secondly, the big companies would say that there's so much out there and so much that's not good that you can't trust independent publishing. And that's because a lot of people doing great work, steady work, and building their readership. Sometimes show by show, sometimes book by book. But like the Bobby Nash, he has a following. He's got two or three different series, and he works this social media every day. He works for a lot. He's a hybrid author, so a lot of stuff is either licensed characters or projects he signs contracts for, but he has a couple of series that he does himself. And he, in his area of the country, he travels and goes to a lot of shows. And same thing with Damon Manx, who was on the show not too long ago. Well, Bobby is down south. Damon is like the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, that tri-state area, maybe a little into Pennsylvania, but he's a guy who goes to shows, who works social media very well and responds and builds up. That's the thing. If you're working social media, you have to put time responding to other people. You put your own stuff up, but you have to, it's a conversation. So you have to work at that conversation in a lot of different spots. Those two gentlemen do it real well. Teal does it real well. I'm getting better at it. The other thing is, the big guy, Amazon, does change the rules a lot. And not to favor independent publishers or small publishers. That's something that we have to keep on top of. The algorithms change how they, what does works, what doesn't work. I read something today, and I want to preface this by saying I have not had time to find second, third, fourth sources on this reporting.
Okay.
And as an old reporter, I need that before I feel confident to say this is happening. I will say this, that I read it and it disturbs me if it's true.
Right.
But I only have one source. Listen to the asterisk there, the doubt there. I prefer multiple sources. But what I read was that, again, the algorithm has been changed. The ground rules have changed, supposedly. Allegedly. Am I being safe enough?
I think you're covering the base, yeah.
It's suggesting that the big boy, who I won't name because all of a sudden all my stuff will be gone, will no longer allow any reviews that say ARC, Advanced Reader's Copy, or early copy of, or this review is an exchange for, that kind of thing. Now, if it's true and they're trying to get rid of paid reviews, can't say that I'm opposed to that if it's across the board. I'm more of an organic review guy, which is why I don't have 100 reviews on all my books. But the big publishing companies send out advanced reader copies. We should be able to at least do the same thing they can do. We won't be able to do the numbers. We won't be able to do it with as much authority. But to say that, oh, the little ones can't put out advanced reader copy, if that was true, I would find that would be an unfair business practice and maybe start smelling a class action suit. But I don't know that it's true,
So
you
let me
know?
ask you this. Let me ask you not to distract or detract rather from what you're saying, but just in terms of clarity for our audience.
Right.
When you have a new property like Creep This Way, okay,
Okay.
it's finished. You've edited it. You've put it into the printing matrix, and it's going to come spitting out any moment now. What are the steps that you do? And you can do it
All
like both
right.
ways. What are the
Well,
steps that you do to promote or make the audience or the public aware?
God bless Rebecca, because she's a really hard worker. Rebecca Cuthbert is worth reading because she works so she puts her money where her mouth is, or her energy where. My end of things was trying to learn how to do Amazon better. And I learned a lot about what to put in for keywords and what to do this and where to look for things. So that was what I was doing. While Rebecca, you know what? I wish I had 20% of the braveness that she has, because she was just going to everybody and saying, I have this project coming out. This is what it is. Are you interested? Would you be interested in reviewing it for your magazine or for your online whatever? And a lot of people said yeah, and so we made available an advanced reader copy because that was the rule back then. We're talking about maybe a month ago, maybe
Okay.
6 weeks ago. That's how
So
recent. So we
the
would
book's
send an
complete,
EPUB, a digital copy,
right? The
and
book's
they would
complete, and then
read.
you reached out, or Rebecca reaches out
Rebecca
to
did,
see if
yeah.
you can get some sort of reviews, advanced reviews
Well,
on
are
that.
you interested in reviewing? And these are
Okay.
people who did reviews
Right.
or had a column or were authors who were interested in the topic of this. This book is about all the other things that go along with writing,
And so
no?
I'm trying to drill down just in
Right.
terms of getting the steps.
So,
So you're pursuing advanced reviews, which
well,
is, I get that, but then what else did you have?
I want to be very clear because all we could do, we agreed morally, all we could do was find out if they were interested and send them a copy. Whether they read it or not, we had no control over.
And I
Whether
understand.
they wrote a, well, it's important to do this because of what's going on these days, but whether they wrote a word, whether they wrote it on Amazon or on Goodreads or in their own e-zine or in a online platform for their company, that was entirely up to them. We didn't engage, we didn't pay a penny for any of it. And that's an important distinction for me. So you do those things. I went to, I forget exactly which app. There's an app that helps you make graphics. So I, and not AI, because we're not
Canva.
Canva, yes, Canva. So I utilized Canva and I would put the picture up and then and a blurb from one of the reviews, or we would, I did a whole series where I used, Rebecca has great chapter titles. And I would use those as quotes. When you are a young writer, or when you were trying to break into writing, believe beyond the doubts. Want to know how? Read Rebecca's book, that kind of thing. So those are things that I did. And then I would put them, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, X, Blue Sky. There might be one or two others. And then I would, I tested the waters with boosting the posts. Then we did, I spent some money on Amazon ads. Again, these are things that, one of the frustrations is that once you learn it, then it feels like it changes. So you have to relearn it and all that sort of stuff. So that's an ongoing process. So it was that combination of things.
Okay. So again, the steps were, once the book is ready for prime time, trying to get reviews, advanced reviews, however that works, you've explained that, using social media, possibly getting paid ads. How about pursuing interviews, things like that? Was that a part of the major?
Yeah, Rebecca appeared on Tell a Damn Story. I don't know how she did that. It's a tough
I think
process.
She had an in with the producers.
But she was also on two or three other shows. She brought me on to Horror Realm, which is a show like this, but just talks about, and two horror creatives and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever she could do that, she did. I think it was last weekend. It was another thing that if you want to start making your mark, be like Rebecca Cuthbert. She took some copies of the book. She has this and a poetry book, In Memory of Exoskeletons, another fascinating book. And she drove to three or four independent bookstores within reach from where she lives, which is somewhat west of Buffalo or something like that,
mm-hmm.
or just south of Buffalo, something like that. And I think she was 3 for 3 or 4 for 4, where they were like, first of all, you've talked to Rebecca. How hard would it be to say no to Rebecca Cuthbert?
She's pleasant, nice, articulate, all those good things. So if I had a really good reason,
a good product on
I
top.
Would say no.
Yeah. So they made arrangements to carry her books. She was able to take pictures of them in the bookstore with the bookstore owner, that kind of thing. And those became more material for content. And mm-hmm. on and on it goes. I continue to monitor how it's doing on Amazon, and I'm trying to tweak the keyword threads, that kind of stuff, to get the best place for her. It's interesting. One of the ideas is create something that is not there so that it fills a hole, right? But then marketing it, if it's one of the few of its kind, or if not the only of its kind, then it's a challenge. The markets tend to be how to write. And this has some of that, but mostly it has how to do everything else. Like after the story is finished, what do you do? How to research submission places, all that. It's really a helpful collection of information, but marketing it has been a fascinating challenge. And then when I reboot Mallory and Gunner, I think it's going to be easier because...
It's a detective series of his, folks.
Okay. Yeah, supernatural and police procedural and thriller. Those are avenues that I can easily understand where to go. So it's been an education.
I'm going to, because of time, I'm going to start to filter in some of the responses we got from Facebook. And since you're talking about it, and actually, because I didn't ask you folks if it was okay to mention your name, I'm going to leave it out. Get back to me and let me know if I can plug it in terms of written material, or if I grab this for social media and I grab this particular clip that I'm about to mention. If I can mention.
Alex, if they like it, then they can, in the comments, say, I'm so, and I made this question, or I asked this comment.
That however would be a lot that of works.
Fun. Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun? That would be
that
cool.
Would be, folks, just let us know if it's okay. One person says, a lot of networking on Facebook, the romance community does a lot of interlinked promotions.
Yeah.
So lots of audience. So again, the audience of one becomes the audience of another. Some paid advertising, free promotion run by places like BookFunnel. Have you done anything with BookFunnel?
Not yet. BookFunnel, BookBub, those are new areas for me to learn. So I
Okay.
haven't done those yet.
It says with
Need
only,
them.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I need them.
Oh, okay. With only one book to tout so far, I'm looking forward to moving into book two's launching shortly. Again, thank you, by the way, for that one, folks. And again, if we can mention your name, let me know. But I like Facebook, using Facebook is and that community, but I like the idea of working within the community of the genre and trying to find ways to mutually, what is that phrase? High tide rises all ships. So
Yeah, raises all ships. That's that
raises all ships.
Teal signature thing. But the romance community is very strong, and they have a strong, like a voracious reading appetite. So I can understand where being on the Facebook romance community would help with that. If you find the right horror or the right mystery community, same thing can happen because the people who read those genres want to read all the time, and those are good things. So yes, those are things to do. In launching, you mentioned that the person has one book she or they are interested in their second launch. The thing that I hear over and over and over again, and I don't always listen to, and I have to listen to, is start promoting your new book 3 months out. And sometimes it's a matter of getting over yourself. I grew up Irish Catholic Bronx household where loathing was the chief emotion, self-loathing, chief emotion. So Alex has been working on that with me for years. But that idea, the Irish saying, oh, you're getting too big for your britches. That's what you are. Yeah, look at you talking about something you did. What's wrong with you there, buddy? Yeah, so I have to get past that because it's just business.
The other end of
And
that too, the other end of that is also, again, going back to something I said at the very beginning of this, the fact that we may be good as writers doesn't mean we're good at any of this other stuff. And literally, it's a business. I even say this to my students. There's the muse, the artistic muse, the creative muse, the joy of being able to bring something out of nothing. That's wonderful. But if you're going to deal with it as a business, if you're going to try and make a living with it, there are all these other steps. And part of that is scheduling, planning ahead, locking in people power or resources so that this connects with this and that works and then that works and so forth. So
And
sometimes
being less
people,
precious.
sometimes you get so caught up in the creating the book that suddenly it's a week before you're supposed to put it out there and going, oh, geez,
Nobody knows.
remote.
Yeah,
Yeah.
nobody
And there you
knows.
go.
And especially in the social media time, right? You put something out 3 months before it happens. This is what people are going to do. Going to scroll past it or hit a, and that's fine. But if you find a way to mix in other content with your self-promotion, if you do self-promotion all the time, you get really boring. But if you repost someone else's stuff, like here's something from Alex Simmons, here's something from Teal, or you comment, Jim Beard, our friend Jim Beard is really good at that. He asked a question this morning. This is something I can't wait for you to find and comment on. But are authors like actors? Right? And think about that, right? But it generated great conversation. And Jim Beard will blush, but he's a genius at the simple things like that.
Actually,
And
not him,
formula.
not Jim at the moment, but I think I can mention this person because you've already mentioned him several times during the episode. So I think he'll be okay with me mentioning his name. Bobby, Mr. Nash,
The
Bobby Nash says social media posts, sending press releases to outlets that cover such topics. Meaning blogs, news sites, local newspapers, etc., doing interviews and podcasts, setting up and attending book events like cons, store signings, conferences, speaking to or at clubs, groups, and other events, newsletters, website, and occasionally I purchase ads.
Occasionally,
That's a Bobby Nash throwing his hat into the ring there.
yeah, but go to social media if you're interested in learning how to do this and look up Bobby Nash, right? And just scroll through his stuff because the proof is in the pudding.
And here's the other thing too, because I was doing this with of all things YouTube banners the other day. We can look at other people's books, whatever the genre is, whatever the the imagery in terms of the cover quality and all that is, we might look and go, oh, I wouldn't read that, or that's this and that's that. But if they are getting to their audience, if they're reaching their audience and they're reaching them well, then they're doing it right. And whether or not it's our cup of tea is something else. What we're supposed to be extracting from that is what methodologies are they using to reach their audience, yeah, so that we can maybe replicate that or at least experiment with that for our audience.
Right.
Yeah, that's really what that is.
And that's just putting a little time in, looking and observing and seeing what works for other people. And I've spent a lot of time these last year and a half doing the second part of that, which is, all right, this is what works for this person. This is what works for this person. What can I live with? What works for me? And then how do I get over myself because I'm not doing this thing or I'm not doing that thing? And once you realize that, then go ahead. Nobody is going to be upset. Worst comes to worst, they do that. Just a little scroll by. So go ahead and be proud of your stuff.
Yeah.
Let people know.
By the way, let me just respond to that before I share the next one. If somebody is upset, you can do that.
Yeah, you can do that. You can delete that mess, that comment. Yeah.
Sometimes people are going through whatever they're going through and they need to take a poke at somebody or for something. And it's really nothing to do with you. It may sting or whatever, but it's really got nothing to do with you, and it should not be in your way. So here's one from someone who I've known for several years, haven't seen him in a while. So thank you for writing this. And again, let me know if I can drop your name. But anyway, he says, frankly, I've always found the best promotion for my work is me, myself. I am never short of words, anecdotes, sales pitches, and even when the work is still pending. So again, while you're working on it, you can still be talking about it. That said, I think it's important to always supplement a good talk game with demonstrable product of some kind. So this will needs to be display aptitude, competency, extraordinary skills in the chosen field project. Now, what I will say about that is he had a project that we, a group of us, were working on with him at one point, something that he was going to debut down the road a few months. And one of the things he did was he put time, he put thought, and he put money behind his product. Right. And he did photo shoots.
Okay.
Him with his camera, not like he went to a professional studio, but him with his camera did these remarkable, fun, lit photo shoots and got the imagery out there. And it was imagery of these characters that supported the product that he was about to put out. And in seeing these characters and seeing these costumes and seeing these different setups that emulated the genre and the mood and the atmosphere of the stories that he was dealing with, all of that garnered conversation and reactions and opened up the door for call and answer. Somebody might remark on, oh, that was such a great shot about something. Yeah, we enjoyed doing that. I got this person to play that part and the story, blah, 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 blah. So it was a way of not just focusing on buy my book or come to my event, or it was also side conversations that always led back to the main topic. So that's another thing that one can utilize in terms of a methodology, is you don't always have to be, and I think you said this a little while ago, you don't always have to be saying buy my book or just talking about going to Amazon or whatever the source might be. You can generate other conversation around the topic, around the project, around the product.
All right. Now, when we talk about our own stuff here as part of hopefully easing the passage of other creatives, but I think the best episodes are still when we have somebody else and we're talking about their process. It doesn't have to be always self-promotion.
Yeah. And that is really, to me, it gives us a chance not only to share what we've succeeded at or failed at, but it also lets people know that you're not alone. We're not alone. Yeah. There's a group of us going through. It's a massive group or small group, doesn't matter. And one of the questions you had last week was about who has the privilege, the right, whatever, to write about stories or characters when they, the writer, have not lived that or had that experience.
Right.
And even that, and one of the people who responded so beautifully was Omar. Even that kind of conversation, we weren't talking about a specific story or a specific,
Right.
but that conversation leads very organically to being able to, if you're having that conversation, to being able to talk about, I read such and such a book and it was well done, which is what happened. You were able to name certain books or certain stories that were written by people who had not lived that life, but had done their homework
Yeah.
or had been respectful of the fact that I am not, this is not my life. So let me go to people who have and roll it by them and see what their feedback is. So even in that, in talking to others and getting their feedback, there's a story in that. There's putting that out into the world, saying, I've been speaking with people who live this kind of life or from this particular culture or who believe in this such and such. And this is what's come of those conversations while I'm working on this project, blah, blah, blah. Even if you want to mention the project in that one, and you can also forego that. I'm working on a project that led me to do this. And here's
Right.
what came out of that.
Yeah. Or I was researching this thing, but this entirely different subject, especially when you go down an internet gopher hole and find something completely unrelated. There was just a comment, God, this was months ago with a couple of, maybe a year ago with a couple of writers. And it was my secret intention to have an episode sometime where we get a couple of people on and we go ridiculously granular. Right. And the particular question I want to ask is, what words do you find yourself going out of your way to avoid? And the answers are
I know where you're
fascinating,
coming from with
like the
that one.
word that or the word they or the, and it's is. Somebody loves to get rid of is. Right. And I think that would be an amazing episode that is just sheds light on how many things we don't even realize we're doing. So I
You
know
know,
I have a developing fetish for, and this is in the editing and rereading, and I will read the entire, I turn everything off, and hopefully the animals are resting and the humans are out. And I will read that story like I'm getting paid $10,000 for it. And kill words that appear too close together. If bounce, just to use a random word, is in a paragraph and the next paragraph or the next sentence has the word bounce, no, that is a mortal sin at that level of proofreading. When it's that whole idea, even when you're doing dialogue, where can I cut out an identifier and not lose the reader? Where can I make it more organic? And I would love to get that granular. And it's something that's worth talking about.
It's funny you should mention that, and I'm gonna, again, we're coming close to the closer here, so I want to have a chance to go forward from it. But there was, I say was, because I don't know if this person is still with us, this writer. I haven't seen his work in years and years, but I
Oh,
was reading
no.
years and years ago. His name is Jay Bennett, and Jay Bennett was a YA writer, author,
Yeah.
wrote a lot of young adults, and he had literally, his chapters were sometimes 2, 3 pages long.
I like that. Yeah.
His conversations were very simple, but the conversations between characters very simple. Identifiers almost bare bones, right?
Yeah.
It
Yeah.
was really, it was almost like the essence of each chapter, the essence of just enough to give you something that moves you through this the plot, but you're moving with the characters, and it was almost minimalist in its writing and very effective. I wouldn't call it poetry, but it affected me in that way of reading short poems, you know.
Yes.
And he was an Edgar Award winner, this
Ah,
person.
very cool.
I have not seen anything from him in mucho long time.
I hope everything's okay with him.
Yeah, but he's one of those people that really showed me how minimal
Yeah.
you can go with dialogue and avoid the verbose disease.
Oh, yeah. I'll add one thing from another Edgar nominee. Art Taylor was the editor of California Schemin', which was a BoucherCon conference anthology. I think it was 2020, and one of my Hellhound stories was accepted in there. But one of the edits that he gave me was make your identifiers do more. And I was like, what are we talking about? He's Ferguson, Farrington said. We know he said that. We see the quotation marks. Do the quotation period. Have him do something. So you're still identifying, but you're adding to the forward progress of the story.
Levels.
Yeah, and I tell you what, that I will go through a story to see where I can do that or where I have failed to do that. So Art Taylor given me an extra level of proofreading and rewriting.
Quickly. What?
Thank you, Art.
Yeah, Art, thank you for this, because I'm going to ask Chris a question that I would love you to answer in like maybe five words or maybe 5 to 8 words. What revision number do you allow yourself to do that? I'm going to assume it's not the first time you do
it. Right. It's probably somewhere between the third and the fifth read through. The first one is you finish the story. The first one is to see if it's coherent. The second one is to see if it's grammatically, you know. Then the third, we start working on, are the characters consistent throughout? Can we make them more dynamic? And then it's the nuances. Where are the words repeating too much? Can we make the identifiers do more work? And so on. So there you go. That's a couple more than 8 words, so I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay, because that is one of those things that I'm constantly sharing with my students, that it does not all happen in one read.
Rereads. That's the power. Yeah. That's where you have the most power.
That's where you can get the real primal work done. Okay. So anyway, just in terms of time, where are you going in 2024? Now that we've talked about promotion and creativity, where are you going with it?
I think I'm going to, I haven't had breakfast yet, so I'm going to go to the kitchen, but no, here are my goals. My goal, writing wise, is to go to ridiculously more chances to be published. I'm looking at open calls. There's several pages on Facebook. You can find open calls or market reports. I get a couple of market reports and trying the idea of writing and trying. I printed one out. That's a really good market report, and got my handy dandy teacher pen with the four colors. And the idea, the exercise, was to go through a market report and write on it possible story ideas as an exercise. If it was something that you have, great. If it's something that you have the idea in the head but you haven't written, fine. If it's something brand new, just as good. I did a story this week that not a word of it had been read, written, or thought of until I read what they were looking for. And that's a great exercise. So the idea is to get out one of the chapters in, right here, Creep This Way, How to Become a Horror Writer by Rebecca Cuthbert. Rebecca Cuthbert. She quoted another writer who was pushing the idea of hashtag 100 rejections, right? The idea of turning a rejection from, oh my God, they hate me, I suck, to, all right, that's one, that's 39. Because the idea is, if you're going for 100 rejections, you're going to fail at that a couple of times when people say, we love your work, we want to publish it. And that's great too. So genius to turn rejections into a win, right? If you get rejected, you're one closer to 100 rejections for the year. If you don't, that means you were published. And I think if you take the rejections personally, it slows you down. If you turn it into a sport like that, it helps you continue going. So yeah, I'd like to get 100 rejections and 20 or 30 acceptances. That would be great. I have two published for the year, a couple that are out there now. And the idea is to send out at least one a week. I'd love to send two or three. I got to send two or three out last week. Here's another piece of advice. Keep a notebook that is just for submissions. Again, this is something that I learned in Rebecca Cuthbert's book, Creep This Way. But she talks about a notebook she keeps, and it's submitted on what date, name of the story, name of the publication, and then there's a space for what happened to it. Rejected this date, or being published that date. If it's rejected, then give yourself 2 or 3 days to get it out to somewhere else. And again, then you can keep track of where you have stuff as you're picking up speed and sending stuff out. That doesn't mean you send out a half-written, unpolished crap. Please don't do that because you get to 100 rejections quickly. But it's still a way, again, to make it all positive and more business-like than,
And
oh
better
my
organized.
God, someone shot me in my soul.
Yeah.
There you
Okay.
go.
Okay.
That's where I'm going. I just want to put out more stuff and more independent stuff as well.
There you go.
And
Okay.
hang out with Alex Simmons
Yeah,
on Tell the Damn Story.
we're gonna have to do more of that because, folks, you hit
Wait,
the,
well, it's not fair. What are you
you
doing in
I'm get
2024?
I'm going there. This is my
Yeah,
segue
ask
in.
this
Okay.
guy at all times. I'm
So
telling you.
it's
Oh,
going.
God. Oh,
We've
God.
done 300 episodes. And it's like one of those milestones, like sitting on the top of one mountain, and you're going, was this enough? Or do we go for that one over there? And so we decided we were going to keep going. And it was a thing of, what are we going to do next? It's not like,
Yeah.
how do we top this? It's, what do we do next? What are we going to be exploring next? What are we going to return to? And so Chris and I are going to do better this year at planning and plotting and conjuring up topics and things like that. And also reaching out to you guys, you folks,
Yeah.
and getting more feedback and more suggestions and things like that. And that puts you folks in the game a little bit more. I put on your jerseys and everything, your TTDS jerseys, because the input from you fuels us as much as our own craziness. And so we want more of that.
Yeah.
Also, it's funny, writers are inspired by different things. And one of the things that plays a big part in that is life. And I've looked at a few things that are going on, and there's the bigger issues that are going on in the world that impact us all, and how we react to that is one thing. But there have been some smaller personal things that have happened this year that have fired up my missions. So last year, I did a lot more teaching and guiding and supporting others in their projects. And this year, I'm going to do more producing creatively of material that I want to get out. And for personal reasons, meaning to serve myself is one. But the other is, and I'm not going to get on a soapbox, so I'll just do this as succinctly as possible. There's a wave of negativity that's going
Yes.
on. A huge, massive, colossal avalanche of negativity. And whereas old folks like the captain and I here, we've been duking it out with the world for a long time. We've been knocked down, we've gotten up a number of times, and all that good stuff. And we'll probably keep doing that until we can't. But there's a lot of young folks that didn't ask for this, and they got hit hard. And some of them so much so that the damage is intense. And I'm not okay with that. I'm just not. I think we need more positive stuff. I'm not saying we need to be Pollyanna. I think hope is necessary. I feel that hope with a plan for a better day is necessary, is key. I think people who are not negative and not abusive and aggressive in that let me take over and bully you down kind of way need to roll up our sleeves and do the things that bring back some more civility and positivity to the world so that our offsprings have a shot. Because this is not about us keeping it for us. It's about us passing it on to the next generation. And sloppy is not how I want to do that. Some of the stuff that I write will be, non-fictional, and some of the fictional stuff that I write will continue to have a level of hope in it or guidance or aggressive action towards positivity. I'm not going to be any more specific than that. And for the little ones out there, I'm going to continue to do more material for them as well because they need it as much as, if not more so, than their siblings, their older siblings in between. So that's my goal, is to put out more positive, supportive, entertaining, as well as educational material, and to do as much of it as I possibly can during my watch.
Excellent. I agree with you 100%.
Oh.
And perhaps because we get good response, or you get good response from social media when we ask a Tell a Damn Story question, maybe we could ask everyone out there,
More than
what do you
happy.
want to see us do in 2024?
Yeah,
And
that'll be the next question.
keep it. I. Hear you out there. Family show. Now, I don't want to name names, Maureen Britt. Listen. Behave yourself now.
Also, folks, you can look forward to, aside from more nuttiness from us, but we've got a lineup of artists, writers, and so forth that will be interviewed this year. Oh, one of them, Tom, not Sagoski now, Tom Coffey, my buddy. Mm-hmm. I'm scheduling you. I'm scheduling you, Tom. Tom's going to be,
we
Tom,
got
this month, and I should have.
We got the Bobby Nash.
Got the Bobby Nash. Got Tom Coffey.
We got Clint's, Jim Beard and John Bruning.
I want to go back to the cozy mystery realm and speak to Shannon and a couple of the other writers out there that are doing that. I want Omar back here. Mm-hmm. I want
The esteemed Cassine Gaines.
Yes, I want him back here.
This is his show, after all.
Yeah.
Yep. With the cozies.
Want you back here.
I think I know a couple of cozies as well. It would be wild to get a cozy panel.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Why not? Because it's all good. It's all writing. It's all good. And it's all people expressing themselves as artistically as they can. And of course, intermittently, with or without peanut butter and jelly, we will have Teal.
Oh, Teal, yeah.
Teal will be back.
I can't wait for some of those books he's got coming out.
Hang in there, bro. Hang in there. Don't be mainlining, right? And then we've got James and John. Will be not James. No. No, it's not. It's Jim and John.
Jim and John from Flinch Books that we just talked about. They're tentatively scheduled. We didn't slot a date in yet, but they're very interested.
And Jesse, I heard you. We're going to be getting some more of your writers in here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It was fun, Jessica, rather. It was fun interviewing Jessica, but it was also fun interviewing Shannon. And now Jessica's got some other writers that she would like us to take onto the show and share their experiences. We've got stuff coming down the line here this year. So stay tuned.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, and as Chris often says,
and subscribe. Hit that like button.
Yes.
Smash that subscribe button. You don't want to miss a second of telling the dang story.
Take care, everybody.
Peace.